Thank you for that. That's got to be in my perhaps top five favorite songs. I absolutely love that song. It's powerful, and I think piggybacking off what Kristen has said this morning, there can be this element where it just wears us out. It feels exhausting sometimes, trying to be all that the Christian path sometimes seems to suggest we should be. And so my hunch is this, that Kristen is not alone, that a lot of times life can feel tiring and wearisome, and that sometimes the Christian path only adds to that. And so I just want to recap what I did a little bit last week. A week ago, we looked at some of these curious examples of how Jesus shows up in disguise. In the Gospels alone, we see Jesus don the cloak of the child, the refugee, the stranger. And I didn't even mention Matthew 25, of course, which shows us Jesus coming and being disguised as the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, the prisoner. And so we explored Jesus' propensity to come to us in disguise, and that to recognize him, we need to make space and create room to welcome others by acts of hospitality. Create space, welcome the stranger. And the trouble is, of course, that this is no easy feat, and this is where Kristen's comments come in. There's a tension here. And I think one of the fundamental questions that Kristen and I have been wrestling with over the past couple of years is trying to make sense of this. If the Christian path is all about making space for the stranger, what happens when we have no space left to do anything with? What happens when there's just no more room to work with in life? Then what? And I think that's a question really worth exploring. So let me start that query by asking another question. Why don't people come to church? And of course, there's probably a plethora of reasons why people don't come to church. But one of the less talked about reasons, I think, is that church tires people out. And I think it oftentimes makes them feel guilty for what they're not doing, for not being a better person. And the underlying message, I think, that we so often hear at church, here, other places, is that in order to be a better person, in order to travel the Christian path well, there's more that you need to do. There's more. Do more. I remember a first year at Nexus. We had just started things out, and Chris and I had two very good friends coming to Nexus. They had no church faith background at all, and when we started Nexus, they were very excited, and we were excited because they were like, wow, if you're doing this, we're willing to try this out, check this out. And so they came, and they were part of Nexus for a good couple of months. And I remember we were having dinner with them one night, and my friend, he said to me, he said, Brad, I just got to tell you, we're not going to keep coming to Nexus. And I was crushed. I was like, what? Like we started Nexus for people like you. I said, really? Why? And he's a good friend, so he could be incredibly honest with me. And I remember his response so well because it shocked me. He said, everyone at Nexus is so good. Like, annoyingly righteous. I said, what? What do you mean? He said, well, I get to know people, and everyone's doing these amazing things with their lives, and people talk about the causes they're involved in, and all the ways they're involved in activism, and people just seem so really good, and then I listen to you speak, and I just don't feel good enough to be part of Nexus. I'm not doing enough good things. He said, I feel guilty for all the ways I'm not involved in some cause, or all the ways that I'm not bettering my life. But I remember him saying, but Brad, I can't do any more than what I'm doing right now. And I think there are times within church community where the pressure of our lives has us wanting to scream. I know that's a good thing. I know that's what I should be doing more of, but I can't. I don't have the capacity right now. And I think that's what, well, many sermons can do. A sermon like last week can make us feel that way. And it reminds me actually of this funny, to me, it's a very funny story in the Gospel of John. And I think it speaks well to this. And John is an artist, of course, so he's setting stuff up here. But here's this odd story. John 5. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. And inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five or covered porches, and crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, they lay on the porches waiting for a certain movement of the water, for an angel of the Lord came from time to time and stirred up the water. And the first person to step in after the water was stirred was healed of whatever disease they had. So there's this pool, apparently, and when God stirs it up, when angel stirs it up, first one in gets healed. It's like a jackpot kind of thing. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" I want to hit the pause button there because this scene cracks me up. This poor, paralyzed man, been sick, ill for 38 years, and when Jesus approaches him, his question is, "Would you like to get well? Would you like to get better?" And part of me is like, "Really?" Part of me is imagining if this man had perhaps a sense of humor, he would have been like, "Nah, I'm just here for the views and the cool breeze, Jesus. No, I'm cool just hanging out." It's like, seriously, do you want to get better? Of course I want to get better. Come on. I've been laying here. And John's so brilliant because I think the way he develops his gospel is that this question Jesus poses to the paralyzed man is, of course, a question posed to us. John's always inviting us into the stories of Jesus, and so I think the question for the man is the question for us. Do you want to get better? Do you want to get well? Well, of course I do. Of course I want to. Come on. I think it's the same for us. I think the starting point for traveling the Christian path is exactly that question for us. Do you want to get well? That is why we walk and follow the Christian path. We want to learn to live fully. We want to be healed of what ails us. We want to be better human beings. Of course, that's what we want. And the reality is, I've never met a single person in my entire life who would be like, "You know what? I think I'm done with this. I've attained the perfect version of myself. I'm all good." I've never met anyone like that in my life. And if I did meet someone like that, I would be convinced they needed to get better more than the rest of us. But nobody's like that. All of us want to get better. So the question's rhetorical. Do you want to get better? Of course I do. But I find the man's response both incredibly obvious, but also stunning in how I think it relates to us. Jesus asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And Jesus heals the man, but I'm intrigued by his response because it resonates with me, because the subtext of the conversation is funny. "Do you want to get well?" "Well, yes, Captain Obvious, Jesus, I would like to get better. There's one problem, in case you haven't noticed. For me to get better, it would mean me getting from here to there. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm paralyzed, so I can't get from here to there. I'm at my capacity, Jesus. I cannot do any more than I'm already doing. So here's the deal. If I'm going to get better, it's going to have to be your initiative, not mine." And I think there's a lot worth digesting there. Like this paralyzed man, I think many of us, of course, in life need or know where we need to get to in life. We know what we should do or how we could be better human beings. And so we come to church and we hear, "Be better. You should be more hospitable. You should love others radically. You should be forgiving people in your life. You should be extending forgiveness and grace and spending more time with strangers and with your enemies at tables and having dinner with them. You should be showing more grace, more love. You should be feeding the hungry. You should be visiting the prisoner." On and on it goes. And I think many of us already know here are the things we want to do or could do. We know we need to get from here to there, but like the paralyzed man, it's like, "Well, but I can't. I can't." We feel overextended. We feel at max capacity in life. We know where we should be, but we just can't get there. And I would say for everyone here this morning who knows exactly what I'm talking about, for everyone here who knows that feeling of, yes, I know I need to work past this and forgive this and do more of this. Yes, I get that. For everyone who knows that feeling of just being like, but I can't, I think what we need to remind ourselves of is that is okay. It's okay. It's fine to say, I can't. It's fine to say, that is just too much for me right now. It's fine to say, that thing you're asking of me, Jesus, it's beyond my capacity at the moment. It's fine to say, okay, listen, if that thing, whatever it is going to happen, it's going to have to be initiated by you, Jesus. Because right now, I just don't have the ability to do it on my own. Back to Kristen and hospitality for a moment. I think for her, a lot of the times, the Christian path simply feels like too much. And maybe you can relate. Because when someone like Kristen hears, make more space, welcome the stranger, what someone like Kristen immediately thinks is, wait. I already have friends who I don't spend enough time with. I already have coworkers I don't spend enough time with. I already have neighbors I don't have to spend enough time with. I have kids I probably don't spend enough time with. And then there's you, needy Brad. And then there's duties and other family. And now there's this call to make more space, invite the stranger in. And it's simply, I can't. It's too much. Feel paralyzed right now. I think many of us do, right? Life feels so full. It feels like too much is already going on. And then Sunday mornings, we hope we can maybe come and hear some great music and maybe be encouraged. But then sometimes we leave going, oh, that's just one more thing I'm not doing. And thus, so part of the simple message is that's okay if you can't. Because sometimes to get to where we need to be, it requires divine initiation. So it's okay if you can't. It's okay. Some of us just can't. And yet, for others, maybe there's this element where like, okay, maybe I could, but I'm just so tired. I'm so weary in life. Notice this story from the Gospels. It's, to me, also hilarious. I really resonate with it. This is from Matthew 26. Jesus went with them to the night before his crucifixion. Jesus went with his disciples to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed, and he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you keep watch with me even 1 hour? Come on, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, and when he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, fine, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. I love this story because I know the feeling the disciples have here. There might be nothing worse in life than being woken up and someone's angry at you. There might be nothing worse than opening your eyes and your first thought of the day is, wow, why is everyone upset? I snore, and that was a little too loud, Kristen. That was... I snore badly. I've got one of those machines now, so we're mostly good. But I still remember the first time it became obvious to me that people don't like the noises you make when you sleep. I was backpacking Europe, and we were staying in this big hostel. The room we were in was big. It had like 40 of us guys, and you know, I went to sleep. And I remember being woken up by just some stranger yelling, shut up! And I woke up, and I was looking around. I'm like, can't be talking to me. I was like, yeah, who woke me up? Who was that? Oh, geez. Keep it down. So I rolled over and went back to sleep. And then a stranger came over and literally like took his pillow and was like, poof, poof, oh. I wake up and there's like 40 angry eyes just looking at me. Shut up. I'm like, wow, what did I do? I was just sleeping. Oh, man, I've never been the same since then. So many times in life, anytime somebody's like, hey, we should go on a trip and share the same room. I'm like, you don't want to do that? Kristen says, I sound like a demon being strangled. And it's so frustrating to wake up and someone's angry. Like 12 years of marriage, every night, Kristen like, wake up. And sometimes you're just too tired, right? I'm on my back. I'm like, what? She's like, roll over. I'm like, I can't even do that. I'm so tired. Oh, the feeling of waking up and someone's angry with you, like clearly that's what's going on with Jesus here. Like, wake up, I asked you to watch. All you had to do was stay awake and watch for 1 hour and you can't do it. And then a second time, are you kidding me? Wake up, come on. And Jesus is like coaching them, come on, you can do this. All you gotta do is stay awake, and they can't. Their eyes are too heavy. And I love this scene because the disciples are us and we are them. They're archetypes. They remind us of all that it is to be human. And Jesus tells them, come on, here's the one thing you got to do. Keep watch. And they fall asleep. Second time, keep watch. They fall asleep. Third time, and I love Jesus' line, oh, fine. Have your sleep. And I find this story so relatable because here's what I'm inclined to think. There are a lot of times when we're confronted with the realities of the Christian path and we find ourselves thinking, oh, this makes me so weary. And so when we're confronted with calls to be more loving, to extend forgiveness to those who have hurt us, when we hear calls, extend radical hospitality, get messy in life, I think a lot of times what we're thinking is this, Jesus, you're making me tired. You're making me tired. And I love that here in this scene. Jesus is literally just like, be awake. Be awake, and they can't do that. And you know, that makes so much sense to me because we're human and we get tired. And so the very idea of just being awake enough to be aware, even that seems so out of stretch sometimes. And in my experience with people, what I find is this, people are exhausted. People's schedules are totally maxed out these days. No one has the time or energy for radical hospitality. And here's what makes hospitality and seeing God in disguise as strangers so difficult. We're simply physically, mentally exhausted in life. No one has time or energy. And so it's like Jesus barking at his disciples here. Come on, stay awake, stay alert, keep on the lookout, keep watch with me. They're just like, I can't, I'm too tired. You know, I've been thinking that this is probably what it feels like sometimes to show up here and be like, guess what? Next thing to do on the Christian path is this and more of this and more of this. And it's like, oh. But I'm just too busy. I'm too tired. I'm too weary. I've used this quote before. Brené Brown quotes Lynn Twist in her book, Daring Greatly, and I think this captures what a lot of us feel. Lynn says this, for me and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is I didn't get enough sleep. The next one is I don't have enough time. And whether true or not, that thought of not enough occurs to us automatically before we even think to question or examine it. Before we even sit up in bed, before our feet touch the floor, we're already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. By the time we go to bed at night, our minds are racing with a litany of things we didn't get or didn't get done that day. We go to sleep burdened by those thoughts and wake up to that reverie of lack. And I get that. I'm sure many of you do as well. The Christian path can constantly feel like calls to do more, more, more. And for some of us, the effect is it just makes us weary and it makes us feel guilty. We've got jobs, we've got mortgages, our kids need time, they need to get from here to there. On top of it, our marriage feels like we're sort of roommates more than intimate partners, and we've got a sick parent to take care of, and the latest project at work is burying us, and we've got all of these things on our plate, eating up time and energy, exhausted, and we're just exhausted. And then we come, and we sit here on Sunday morning and hear me say, you're not doing enough. Come on. You need to do more. And so we exhaust ourselves, thinking that in order to be like Jesus, okay, got to rally here. More good deeds to do. And so you take a Sunday like last week when I'm pushing for us to be more hospitable and welcoming God in the stranger and welcoming Jesus in disguise. And I think what happens is we can mistakenly come to think that hospitality means either A, have more people over for meals, or B, volunteer more. And of course, both of those are really great things. But when I talk about hospitality, that is not what I'm talking about. Because if hospitality is that, then no wonder we want to fall asleep. Because here's the thing, if hospitality isn't sustainable, if it becomes just a long list of good deeds we constantly have to perform year after year after year, we're going to burn out. That kind of hospitality will wear you out. I mean, if it's adding to your weekend to-do list, and I gotta invite people over, and I gotta clean the house, and I gotta make a meal, that I gotta host and entertain, that I gotta clean it up all again, it's like, well, of course, you're gonna be like, Jesus, you're making me tired. If hospitality means more service projects, more places to volunteer at, more involvement, well, then again, it's gonna eventually feel like, Jesus, you're making me tired. But I don't think at its core that's what hospitality is. You know, a friend of mine once told me that the Christian path is basically doing a million boring little things, and I like that. I think it's the same with hospitality, this idea that I'm trying to get at, hospitality expanding, making space for God in disguise. It's not a list of service projects. It's not a list of people, meals we have to make, things that are just going to clog up our schedules even more. I think hospitality is 1 million boring little things that allow us to expand our hearts, allow us to expand kindness so we can see Jesus in disguise. Because what I know to be true is that many of us feel like we're just keeping our heads above water. And the reality is this, we need to acknowledge it. There is definitely a certain spiritual illness at work in our culture that keeps all of us so busy. I think that's an illness. I think that's a problem. Here's the thing. I don't know how to fix that. And that feels like a really heavy rock to move. And I don't want to wait for that to be fixed, to start speaking into our lives about how we expand and make space without burning ourselves out. And so again, I'm convinced of this. When we talk of hospitality, we're talking about expanding our circle of concern, our care, our awareness. And at its core, this is not about meals or volunteering. Because if it ends up being that, it's just going to burn us out. Like the disciples, we won't be able to keep our eyes open. Like the man by the pool, we'll be stuck saying, I just can't. Hospitality has to be deeper than that. I think it has to be a revolution of our hearts, our emotions. Because what I take seriously is what Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anytime we talk about the Christian path, I think it has to include that. And so when we speak of widening our circles, learning to see Jesus in disguise, whatever it is that we mean by hospitality, whatever it looks like to welcome Jesus in disguise, it should come to us not as a burden or a drain. Remember the road, the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. When they invite Jesus in, it's not like, geez, what do we have to do with this guy? The response is, my heart was burning within me when we spoke to him. So please come. Come and be with us. It wasn't a drain. It was something that gave them joy and vitality. And so to find those experiences, it starts with our hearts. And I have no doubt that some of you are quite confused this morning if you were here last week. We're like, well, Brad, you say conflicting things, which I have to say I'm never opposed to saying conflicting things because I just think that's not necessarily a bad thing. Brad, you were saying last week, expand our tables, welcome more, create more space. Now this week, the message seems to be slow down. It's not about doing more. You're right. I think being smack dab in the middle of paradox is always a good thing. that feels a bit like home for me. But what I want to do 2 weeks from now is I want to introduce you to a woman who has changed a whole lot of lives. Her name is St. Therese of Lisieux. And she authored a book way, way back. And she created something called The Little Way. And I'm going to do it in 2 weeks because I'm away next week. I'm going on a trip with my siblings, my brothers. And we're growing mustaches for it. That's why I have this beard. We're going to shave when we leave. And it's weird. I don't know. We're going away with our mustaches. And so I'm going to be away for a week. And Katie Taylor is going to be bringing the good word to us next week. She's going to be preaching, and I know it's going to be awesome. So I hope that you will make sure that you're here, because I have read over what she's going to say, and I know it's an important word. It's an important message. I hope that you will be here for that. But in 2 weeks' time, I want to showcase for us something that I think will drastically change the way we see and engage with hospitality and how we go about learning to see Jesus in disguise. And it starts with this woman, Therese, and her nickname was the Little Flower. And what I began to notice over the past couple of years is this, is all of my favorite Christian writers, the ones that I think are the absolute best, they kept mentioning her. And she was this nun in this convent. And her name kept coming up and up and up, and finally started looking into her, and she's a proponent of what she calls the little way of Christianity. Not the big way, the little way. And so I want to take us there, because I think her understanding of the Christian path is something that's going to really, really help us. And so that's where we're heading next. And I want to bring David Foster Wallace into the conversation, because I've learned he was influenced by her too. So I'm very excited about whatever that Sunday is. So, that's coming. But for this morning, if your life feels full and overflowing, if you're at max capacity and simply feel like there's nothing more you can do or add to your plate, if when you hear calls for more, 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 you simply think, but I can't, know that that is okay. You are welcome here to simply come and rest. And if you're here this morning and the one word, the one adjective you would use to describe yourself would be weary or tired, welcome, that's fine. To everyone here who simply can't, to everyone here who is stretched beyond capacity, to everyone here who's tired and weary, hear again the words of Jesus. And I'm going to ask the band to come now and close us with the song that echoes it. But hear again the beautiful words of Jesus. Whenever we feel overwhelmed and stressed and feeling like more, 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 remember the Christian path is about this. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Calvin? Thank you, Ben, for that. And it's a perfect morning because we don't have to stack the chairs this morning. And so I can literally say there's nothing for you to do. It's okay. So just come, enjoy the soup, and we will just be together. And let me close in prayer, and then we'll go from here. God, thank you for these stories that just remind us so much of what it's like to be human. We get tired. We get weary. A lot of days we simply can't do anymore. Thank you for your grace in that. Thank you for understanding that. And so for anyone here who is in that space where they're feeling tired, burnt out, and weary, may this space be a place of welcome. And may they come to know a God who doesn't need them to do any more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.